Let's turn to the Gospel of John a moment as we enter into the time for confirmation of these three, our children. And I guess I should say coming on to young adulthood in a way. It's for bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, the age of just about your age that occurs. It's a coming of age ceremony, and so likewise confirmation is, in a sense, a coming of age ceremony. It's a ceremony that recognizes what's called the age of accountability. You three are now accountable for your faith, your actions, for yourselves. It's no longer, in some sense, although it surely will be, for as Robin and I have discovered, maybe a lot longer than we thought, the care of our children. Your parents, I'm sure, will have your thoughts and your care and mind the rest of your life, would you say, Robin? I would. Certainly every parent, I'm sure, is thinking the rest of their lives, you're still a parent if you've had a child. But this scripture, I thought, very appropriate for looking at confirmation. Jesus, in the 7th chapter, the 37th verse, it begins on the last and greatest day of the feast. This is the feast, the festival of Sukkoth, the festival of booths. On that last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." Still others asked, "How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" And thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Here ends the reading, then, of God's holy word for us today. Thanks be to God. We'll celebrate Holy Communion after confirmation, and the confirmands, some will help me in the distribution of those two elements, the bread and wine, the grape juice, if you will, as Methodists observe it. They help, I was thinking this is about the believer's drink. The believer's drink. Now, I got a special invitation this week. When I got back from annual conference, our annual meeting for our whole geographic area extending from all the way from Maryland-Delaware border out to the Delaware River and up through the Poconos and then over to, let me see if I can get it straight, Lancaster County's westernmost end and down on the Susquehanna River and then up through, not it kind of shoots over in Lebanon County and comes across then up to through the coal region, up to. So, anyhow, when I got back, I was checking the mail, and lo and behold, I got a special invitation. Melania Trump has sent me A special invitation to help celebrate, it says right here, to help celebrate President Trump's birthday. And moreover, I got a card in the mail last year sometime. I got this thing and I was thinking, my gosh, President Trump has sent me his credit card. Well, it turns out it's not a credit card. It's from the Republican National Committee. I don't know how this happened because I haven't sent him a penny, a sustaining member, and no more since 2026 I've been a member since. It's amazing. Well, I want to tell you about a real invitation this morning. I mean, an invitation that's so authentic, it changes people's lives. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he famously said, "What we worship is what we become. What we worship is what we will become." And you know, some people are worshiping all manner of things. Paul, in the letter to the Ephesian church, he talks about people who worship the god of the belly. And he says, you know, their condemnation is going to be on their own. They created themselves because they're worshiping this idol of the belly. That can mean wealth or power in some way or other. It can be meaning the sensual things of the world. And with the internet, you know, they're saying this is increasingly a trap for people. The god of the sensual things of life. And but Jesus says that if you follow me, you'll have streams of living water flow from you. He's actually making a reference at this point to the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel says that in his vision in the 47th chapter, it actually begins in the 39th, but there at the conclusion of his whole prophecy, Ezekiel says that he was shown a vision of waters flowing from the temple, from the altar of the temple, flowing out. And as they flowed out, you know, usually when water flows out, it becomes shorter and shorter in depth. Unless there are tributaries to the water, it's going to become shorter and shorter in depth. But Ezekiel in his vision saw it in reverse. That from the temple, it became deeper and deeper and deeper as it went on to the Dead Sea, to the Sea of Salt. And in fact, as that living water hit the Sea of Salt, it made it fresh. And great living things were able to be sustained by it, trees and peoples and nations. And your faith, Jesus is saying here, if you believe in me, there'll be streams, as the scripture says, of living water flowing from within you. It goes on, John makes this little side remark that by this he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the gift of today's recognition on Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. Penta. We went through this, right? About what a pentagram is, five-sided figure. And so the Pentateuch are the first five books of the Bible. And so, anyhow, let's move on. So 50 days after Easter is the gift of the Holy Spirit celebration for the church. The birth day of the church. And Jesus says by this, or rather John makes a side remark, that by this he meant the Spirit of Pentecost, whom those who believed in him were later to receive, us who follow him. Up to that time, this time in which Jesus is teaching, and all the way to the end of his death on the cross and resurrection, 50 days hence from his resurrection, there was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus had not yet been glorified, John remarks there in the 39th verse. Now, on hearing this about the true living waters that Jesus was to give, I want you to notice that there were three reactions to Jesus. Three reactions. Some people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said he is the Christ. And others still said that, well, it can't be that he is the Christ, because the Christ must come from Galilee and be of the lineage of David. And in fact, be from Bethlehem, the town of David. It's interesting, just to begin with this last remark, that John doesn't have an account of the birth of Jesus. John's gospel doesn't tell us about the birth of Jesus. Matthew and Luke do. And both Matthew and Luke, they tell us that Jesus was born where? In Bethlehem. And of the lineage and line of David himself. In fact, Matthew gives us a whole lineage listing in which David is a central part of Jesus' lineage. And so, John, even though he doesn't give us the actual account of his birth, here John is sneaking in that account. Because as those ask, how can the Christ come from Galilee? And does it not say in the scriptures itself that he must come from the house of David and Bethlehem be born? Well, we know from the other Gospels that in fact that's where Jesus was born. And that's who Jesus was from. David himself. And John knew that too. John knew that too. So he's telling us that in fact the scriptures are fulfilled here. And furthermore, let's look at the first. Surely this man is the prophet. You know, there's some who say that to this day. All that Jesus is, or was a great man, a prophet. Robin and I have been trying to wean down our libraries. And in fact, this was genius. Robin put it, we couldn't get rid of it. I called all sorts of libraries, asking them, used bookstores. Robin got the idea, let's put it on Facebook Marketplace. You know how many hits have we had? You had. It's like over 300. 300 hits. And so we had no idea that was going to be like that. So the first hit we got, we said, well, hallelujah, let's let this guy. Turns out, this guy is a Muslim who came down. He's going to resell all these books. We just gave them away because we didn't know they actually could. I could have asked some money for them, I guess. But so he's going to resell them on his Facebook Marketplace or somewhere. But I got into a conversation with him about Islam. And so as Muslims believe to this day, Jesus, yes, they believe Jesus, he said, we believe in Jesus. So I asked him, well, what do you believe about him? And he said he was a prophet. And the greatest of the prophets is Muhammad. So Jesus is certainly lesser than Muhammad. But what do Christians believe? I told him, Jesus was more than a prophet. Jesus gave his life as the Son of God and the Son of Man for you and for me and for all of us. In fact, the scripture says he gave his life for the whole world in John 3:16, that whosoever would believe in him would have eternal life. My prayer for you three, and for all of us, is always that we believe in Jesus, the blood shed for you and for me, that our forgiveness, the forgiveness of our sins, might be only through him. He's more than a prophet. More than simply a man. God sent his Son to do what man could never do on his own. And so our sins are forgiven because God sent his Son. Still others, they also were like the first. How can he be the Christ? Because he has to come from Galilee. He has to be of the line and lineage of David. You know, there's people still who doubt, no matter the evidence. As you confirm your faith in Christ today, you're saying nothing less than Jesus is Lord. Amen. Let's come to the time of confirmation. As you three come up, the mentors as well. And you know, if the parents would like, we got a lot of people here, so I don't know if you all want to crowd around, but to lay your hands upon our three confirmants, you're certainly welcome to come up. But it's always been the symbol of the laying on of hands as a passing of the Holy Spirit, a sign of that, of an anointing, the hands anointing people as it was with oil in the Old Testament age. We're to pray for one another with also, the scripture says, the laying on of hands. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift to us, offered to us without price. Through confirmation, and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptisms and acknowledge what God is doing for us. and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. Who presents these candidates for confirmation? Elsie? No. I don't know where that came from. A misread. Yes. So let me start with Elise. Where are you? There you are in the middle. Elise Kenzie Brewer, Tenley Renee Kopp, and Kensley Payton, there you are, Caton Quinn. They come seeking professing membership in our church, Grace Church. Now I've asked them to just spend a moment telling you why they seek confirmation, why they want to follow Jesus, what it means to them to be confirmed. I'd ask you, just would you come up and join me and face the congregation and tell them what it means to you. Okay, you're here next to me. You can start. So first of all, for those who may not know, who are you?
Elise.
So, speak. Wait a minute. Where's the mic? Is it up in the pulpit or can you run down with it? Here you are. Hang on a second, Elise. Or Elsie. I'm sorry. Excuse me. This is what happens when you're dyslexic. So you have to speak like directly into it. I know it's weird. I still haven't gotten it. So introduce yourself first.
I'm Elise Brewer.
Go ahead and read what you have.
I choose to be confirmed to grow closer to God and learn more about Him. I want to become a member of the church and follow the word of the Lord.
My name is Kinsley. I chose to be confirmed to grow in my faith and closer to my church family and God and to follow the word of the Bible.
I'm Tenley Kopp, and I choose to be confirmed because I want to join a family at the church and be with people that have the same thing in common as you, loving Jesus and never feeling alone because you always have someone next to you cheering you on to love God and Jesus forever and becoming a better Christian.
Thank you. I think it's important that they begin to learn how to share their faith. And you are my church family, their church family. You know, you're the ones who are their, literally their family in Christ. And literally being able to lift them up as they start this process of learning and growing in their faith. So facing me, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves to you through your lives? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church here gathered and the church everywhere worshiping Him, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? I ask you, do you, church, as Christ's body, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these young people now before you in your care? I invite you to stand with me if you're able. And let us join together in professing the Christian faith as it's contained in the Old and the New Testaments. Now, originally, when this creed was written, and it's found in Latin and in Greek, going back into the early 100s, and as the church came to define it further, we have it now in this form. And it was used as a way of affirming the faith of those who were baptized. And so it's appropriate now, and I've asked them to memorize it, but since it's in a question and answer form, it's probably going to confuse you. But I'll ask it in the question and answer form, in which it was originally given, and you can follow with me. You have it as well? Okay. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. As I've explained to the confirmants, the word Catholic is the Latin for universal, of which we all are a part, professing the faith of Christ. Skipping to the confirmation. Remember your baptisms and be thankful. Amen. And may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing we do is join the universal, the Catholic Church. And so I ask, as members of Christ's universal Catholic Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? Speak out. There it is. And so now what you do is you join this church as members of this congregation of Grace Church. Will you be faithful and participate in its ministries by your prayers, these five, your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Members of the household of God, I commend these three. To your love and care, do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Amen. So, Kinsley has asked you to read the scripture. So, if you would just stand beside me, and then you, Tenley, Elisa, if you would help me as the newest members of the church to distribute the elements of bread and wine to the people as they come forward. Remember, now, who's holding the bread? Okay, if you offer the bread with the words, the body of Christ is given for you, and then Tenley offered the wine, the juice as the blood of Christ was shed for you. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we're not able by the law to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In fact, we cannot without Christ. Christ who intercedes for us, who interposes himself for us. Because without him, we never can. And so we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. We recall how on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, the bread of the Passover meal, and he gave thanks for it. And he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you." And after supper, he took the cup of the Passover meal. And he gave thanks for it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so it is in remembrance of what you've done for us in Jesus Christ, the blood shed for us upon the cross, the body pierced for us there on the cross. And revealed to us as the true sacrifice for our sins, fulfilling all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament for us, the Old Covenant, where the curtain was torn in two in the inner sanctuary. By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We recall how our faith proclaims Christ has died. Christ is risen. And Christ will come again. Pour out upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine your Holy Spirit. Make them be for us just like the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. For it's always by Christ, with Christ, and in Christ that all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.